Chapter 14, Opportunity Design. The more I have worked with opportunity in my life, the more I realize that an opportunity is really a collaboration between the conditions and circumstances that converge in your environment and the way you use your mind and actions to take advantage of it. It seems strange to speak of the creation of an opportunity or the design of an opportunity, as opportunity typically seems to be more of a happy accident than something that an individual person or group can manifest intentionally. But let's talk here about a few of the ways that you can approach creating and designing opportunities in your life. This way, you can have more of the types of opportunities that you want to have, and you can have higher quality opportunities that are a better fit for your personality, your goals, and your skills. Creating. At the beginning of this book, we discussed the idea of living in the creativerse and seeing reality as being a fundamentally friendly environment for the emergence and creation of innovative new things. One of the benefits of doing art in some form is this continual experience of starting with empty space and building something, or starting with a blank page and drawing something, or starting with silence and making music to fill it. I believe that each of us should be continually involved in at least one creative practice in life, as it shows us at a deep unconscious level that we are naturally designed or purpose-built creators. Creativity is a concept worth making a study of in life. I have been a student of creativity for many years, and I find that the more I learn about it, the more profound the phenomena becomes. Some people think that creativity means coming up with original ideas, and some think that it means being artistically talented. I'll suggest that creativity is about first creating. Create is the root word of creativity, and when you're creating, you are in a process of dancing between the world of ideas and the world of objects and relationships. One of the best ways to practice creativity is to take something you learned in one place and try it or apply it in another place. Use a recipe that you learned online at a party with your friends. Take a melody that you learned on piano and play it on guitar. Try a conflict resolution technique you learned at work when you're home with your family. Teach an idea you learned in a book to someone who needs it. When you do these things, you are being creative. You are using your mind to apply knowledge from one domain to another, using your thoughts to put things together in new ways. Whether you practice creativity by making art, learning and applying knowledge, teaching others, or physically building things with your hands, I believe that it is fundamental to our happiness and development to have an ongoing practice of being creative in our lives. When my daughter comes to say goodbye to me and give me a hug before she leaves, I remind her to be creative. Sometimes I'll say, try something new today. And sometimes I'll say, be creative today. Again, even if it's just creating a drawing on a piece of paper of something we want in our lives, or making a melody that expresses how we feel, simple creative acts build our identity as creators. This is very important as it relates to opportunity, because once you develop the ability to create your own opportunities, you become far more sufficient in life. The more that you intentionally practice creativity, the more you will have the experience of transforming one thing into another, multiplying resources, and manifesting outcomes that you first envision in your mind. The domains of design and marketing are areas that can offer you these types of opportunities in business. When you design something, like a product, you assemble ideas, components, and models and put them together into something that can solve a problem or deliver a result to people who need it. When you create a marketing communication, you combine psychological motivators with powerful communication techniques to attract customers to buy your product or service. There's a sense of doing something mysterious, like an ancient alchemist working to turn lead into gold when you do these things. Before, there was only a blank page, and now there's a design for a product. Before, there was no customer, and now you have many customers coming to buy what you're selling, and the key resource was your creative ability. Creativity is a transformer and multiplier of resources. It is part of our unique visionary power. Creativity envisions new ways of doing and being. Design thinking. As you build your esteem as a creator, and as you practice creativity, you will want to refine your ability to create things that are better and better. And this includes opportunities that are better and better. To create great things, it's important to learn and practice design. I'm not talking about interior design here, although it is one way to practice design. I'm talking about a place where you intentionally invest time and attention to imagine and architect the thing you want to create, considering as many of the important elements as possible and fitting them together so that they work as one unit. If you're designing a system, it would be about imagining how you would like the system to work and then arranging the parts so they're in balance and harmony together, working as one emergent entity. Some people specialize in design. Software developers are designers of code. Architects are designers of buildings. Composers are designers of music. Even if you are not primarily a designer in your life, it's becoming more and more important to learn the principles and practices of design so that you can increase your ability to create what you want, including the design and creation of opportunities for yourself and those you care about. Disco design. Before we get into principles and techniques of design, I want to share a word I use when I think about design. It's a combination of the words discover and design. And the word is disco design. Part of design is discovery, and part of discovery is design. You can imagine something in your mind and then act to create it in reality. Most of the time, it doesn't turn out exactly as you imagined, and you discover something in the process. I watched a wonderful documentary about the architect Frank Gehry, which gave me a window into his approach for creating buildings. He would make small-scale models and experiment with shapes, textures, and materials until he found something that he liked. It was clearly a disco design process, if I've ever seen one. With disco design, accidents lead to discoveries and experiments lead to innovations. As I've built my companies, I've tried to follow the needs of people who want to learn things, always curiously asking them what they want to learn next. When I notice that a lot of people want to learn something specific, I then create a teaching program to help them learn how to do it, and they become customers. As I was building a business teaching dating advice, I noticed that a lot of people started asking me not just about dating, but also about how I was building my business. This pattern continued to the point where I realized that I should teach people what I had learned about building a successful and profitable company that was virtual. This led to a very successful course called Altitude, where I taught entrepreneurs how to build thriving and growing businesses. Teaching and launching this course got me interacting with a lot more entrepreneurs, which led to me discovering several other topics that they wanted to learn, which led to me designing several more successful courses, masterminds, and education programs. Did I discover these opportunities or design them? It was some of each. It was disco design. If you look closely, you'll see that there's always some discovery in your design and always some design in your discovery. Disco design is part luck and part skill. It's part random chance and part conscious romance. The mindset here is to learn and practice design along with discovery and to see them as two wings on one bird. Discover as you design and design as you discover. Disco design. Design paradigms. You've likely heard the phrase, form follows function. It is sometimes spoken as if it was a rule of the universe or an immutable law of design. It's an amazing insight and a wonderful summary of one way of approaching design in life. You think about the function, and then you make a design that will fulfill that function. The final form or expression of the design will then be following the general functional need. Can you guess what type of person would have expressed a quote like this one? Any ideas about what this person might have done for work or who they might have been? I'll give you a hint. What would you create that would be best to design first by thinking carefully about its function? Louis Sullivan was an architect who is credited with being the creator of the modern skyscraper. When you're building a skyscraper, you seriously need to think through how it's going to be used before you build it. And it was Sullivan that is credited with this quote. Form follows function is a mindset of what we might call pragmatic design. It's creating a design from the starting point of how it will function as the starting point in your mind. I've heard this phrase echoed through conversations about design in several domains of life now. It's very useful, but it's not the end of the story. Try these variations. Form follows pleasure. Design something that makes you feel as good as it possibly can and disregard practicality or logic. Form follows beauty. Design something that appears beautiful to you without concern for other factors. Form follows imagination. Design something that comes as completely as possible from your imagination in order to practice manifesting what you see in your mind's eye. art is a great place to practice this approach to design and creativity. When it comes to creating and designing opportunities for yourself and others, it's important to use many different approaches. A great opportunity isn't just a functional opportunity, it's also something that you enjoy, that makes you feel good, that expresses your creativity in some way. As you practice designing things in your life, you'll work these different creative muscles, which will help you improve at creating better opportunities for yourself. Visual design principles. As you develop your creativity and as you develop your design skills, it's useful to practice every time you make a document, written communication, email, advertisement, or website. Here are a few principles I've learned along the way that can really help. Note, I'm going to be talking about how the book is designed here, so make sure and go and download your free bonus package at opportunitybonus.com and get the ebook so that you can see the principles that I'm describing here. Alignment. Notice that the paragraphs and headers in this book are mostly left aligned. This creates a nice visual edge on the left side, and it creates a professional appearance. People often center page designs without realizing that it makes longer copy hard to read and unnatural. Spacing. Look at the space between lines on this page. It is just enough to separate the lines, but it's not so much that it wastes space or gives the eye more work than necessary when shifting between them. I would typically add a little bit of space between paragraphs as well, and if you're reading a segment of this online, it's probably there, but in the printed version of the book, we decided to indent paragraphs rather than adding space between them to make it easier to read long blocks of text. Contrast. Notice that the chapter titles and headings are much bigger and bolder than the body copy. Note that they are also set in a very different font. The body copy is serif type for style and ease of reading in long blocks, and the titles and headers are sans serif, also for style, but in this case designed to be easier to read in short blocks. Big bold words are more legible and grab attention, but you don't want to use huge bold type for longer sections as it's bulky and inefficient visually. If you're using colors, use very different colors. Use a color wheel and try pairing colors from opposite sides with each other, and notice how this creates a natural and pleasing contrast. Hierarchy. In English, we read left to right and from top to bottom. Follow this natural eye gravity in your designs. Put your most important piece of information and visual element at the top, starting on the left. In advertising, use a headline that is larger and bolder so it stands out and carries visual weight. Make the next thing you want the reader to look at the second biggest element on the page. If you have a picture at the top, put your headline below the picture. Then below the headline, use smaller type to communicate your main message. Big picture, medium-sized headline, small body copy. This visual hierarchy is intuitive to use because you look at the big thing first at the top, the picture, then the next biggest thing second, the bold headline under the picture, then the next biggest thing third, the small body copy under the headline. Proximity. Put things that are related to each other close to each other visually. If you have a picture and a caption, make sure the caption is directly under the picture because that's where we naturally go to look for it. Put space between elements that aren't related to each other and organize your visual elements into a handful of groups on the page so that the design is simple and not confusing to look at. Fonts. Don't use a lot of different fonts if you're designing a communication. One or two is enough. If you'd like to add contrast, choose one serif font and one sans serif font and use one for your headlines or subheads and one for your body copy. Make the headline font bolder and the body font lighter, and it will look better. Try different combinations until you have one that looks good. Then stick with it through your document. Notice that I'm using a simple combination of fonts in this book and how this brings a sense of elegance and professionalism. Themes. When you find a combination of fonts, sizes, colors, and other elements that works for you, keep using it over and over in your presentation or design as your theme. In programs and apps like Microsoft Word and Google Docs, you can create styles where you pre-design how titles, subheads, body copy, footers, etc. will look with all of the font size, color, and paragraph spacing chosen in advance. This is a great way to create a theme that you can then use over and over in the future. And you can do similar things with web design as well. As you move beyond designing simple pages and websites, here are a few other principles to work with. Recognition. Make your designs recognizable. If you're designing a book cover, spend a few hours and look at the covers of books that you think are well designed. Note the stylistic details and conventions that are unique to book covers. If you're designing a website, take a few hours and look at the best websites in your industry. Again, noticing the stylistic details and conventions that are unique to websites. Books often have a title in huge print on the cover and a single image, but websites have multiple pieces of copy and multiple images. If you make your book look like a website, it's probably not going to feel right, and it won't build trust and rapport when people see it. If you're designing a house, look at great house designs and pay attention to what makes something uniquely a house design. If you're designing a car, notice what car designs have in common. This might sound obvious, but if you're going to design something, it's important to remember that others have often invested their entire careers and sometimes generations of careers or longer experimenting and working out how to design something in that domain. The conventions are often important for reasons that aren't obvious at first. Usability. As you design, keep in mind the ultimate use of the product of your effort. Form and function are intimately related, and the ultimate user of your product will notice it when you have considered them. As you develop a design, do yourself and your customers a favor and observe people using your product or service. You will learn so much by watching people do things that you couldn't have anticipated. The way people use your design isn't going to be the way you think, so plan to spend time with people watching what they actually do. You'll learn so much and discover many opportunities to improve, and often opportunities to design additional products and services as well. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book, plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Opportunity design. Practice creativity in every domain of life to remind yourself that you can imagine, then create what you want. Design and discovery are related to each other, and I use the word disco design privately to think about the process of creative design. Design becomes more important to all aspects of life in the future, both inside and outside, personal and professional. As you're designing, stay open to that which you accidentally discover, and when you make a discovery, ask how you can use it in your design. Form follows function is one design paradigm. But form can also follow pleasure, beauty, imagination, or anything else that you'd like it to. Use visual design principles like alignment, spacing, contrast, hierarchy, proximity, and themes when you're laying out pages, content, ads, etc. Note the use of these principles in the design of this exercise. What is your favorite area of life to plan, visualize, and design? Which areas do you not consciously design? What is your highest value in life that you can design to support? How can you use the simple design principles listed above to improve the visual appeal of one of your content, marketing, presentation, or site designs?